Good morning to everyone. It's good to be here today. If you're visiting with us, you are our honored guest. We appreciate you choosing to worship with us today. And more importantly, we want you to come back and visit with us each time you have an opportunity. But we're glad that you're here. Brother David will be speaking to us this morning from the book of Deuteronomy. This morning he'll be talking about live to honor your parents. We look forward to that. Brother Ray Poston will be leading us in our song service. Brother Dave Looney will be wording our opening prayer and reading our scripture for us. Let's all now join together, make a joyful noise to our Lord.
First song is I Stand in Awe.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in all of you. I stand in all of you.
Morning for our scripture and prayer, we'll sing On Bended Knee.
On bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you as I pledge my love anew. I worship you in spirit, I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you.
This morning I'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verses 15 and 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And remember that thou wast a servant of the land in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let us pray. All wise and merciful Heavenly Father, we truly do stand in awe of you, the true and the living God. Father, we're so undeserving to be in thy presence, but we're ever grateful for the sacrifice of thy Son and our faithful obedience to your will that makes all of this possible for us. Him doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, and the love that was shown in your sending him and his willingness to come. and to die and to take our sins and nail them to the cross. Father, we're so thankful for this avenue of prayer. We know that a better world begins with each one of us. I pray, dear Father, that we will be the people that we need to be, that we will give a lost and dying world something good to see from our attitude, from our actions, and from our words. I pray, dear Father, that you will continue to watch over us. I pray that you will keep us safe. There's so much turmoil and strife, and Father, the world needs to see the opposite of that through true Christian living. I pray, dear Father, that as we come in contact with individuals each and every day, that we can leave with them pieces and parts of Christianity, that someone may come in even behind us and reach them because of what they have seen from us. I pray, dear Father, that you will give us opportunities to serve as we strive to make a difference in this world. I pray, dear Father, for the leadership of this church. We're so thankful for these godly men, our elders. We're so thankful for what they each bring to this work, using their different abilities, working together in harmony. And Father, we as a congregation see that and are so grateful to be here in this place at this time. We're mindful of our leaders locally, our mayor. We're mindful of our governor. We're certainly mindful of President Trump and Vice President Pence and all who are serving this land in Congress and in the Senate. We pray, dear Father, that you will especially be with President Trump and his wife Melania as they are dealing with COVID. We pray that things being done for them will help them. But we pray that it will help all of those who are being treated, all of those who stand in need, all of those who are hurting. There are so many who are weak physically. And Father, not just with COVID, but a myriad of diseases, and we pray your tenderest blessings to be upon them, to be upon their families, to be with those who are working with them. We pray that you will watch over them in every way and suit unto them those things that they need. But Father, we're mindful of those who are weak spiritually, those who are hurting, struggling. But Father, we're thankful for the struggles because it lets us know that we're not bending the knee completely to Satan, that we're fighting with everything that we have to be the best that we can be. I pray, dear Father, for our children, for those who are blessed to have grandchildren. I'm grateful that they have these extended family members, and I pray your tenderest blessings upon all families of the congregation here and throughout the world. I pray, dear Father, that you will continue to watch over us and protect us and bless us. And Father, as we are getting ready to continue in our worship and song, and as we have the opportunity later to commune and to give, and especially as David is getting ready to come into this pulpit, we pray, dear Father, that we will listen very attentively to the things that he has to say as we think about honoring our moms and dads, and help us to do that to the best of our ability. Forgive us, dear Father, when we sin and fall short. Please give us opportunities to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before David comes to speak to us this morning, we'll sing, "How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts?"
How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word the choicest rules impart to keep the conscience clean. To keep the conscience clean. Tis like the sun of heavenly light that guides us all.
Good morning. So good to see you here today on a beautiful fall morning. God is good. God has blessed us so very much. I appreciate Ray leading those songs, each one of them appropriately tied to our lesson this morning, to our scripture reading. I appreciate David for that, and I appreciate his prayer. And John, thank you for your warm and cordial welcome. It's the only commandment of the Ten Commandments that contains a promise. But what is it? And what does it mean to children of all ages? Let's talk about it. Let me introduce you to a special little boy. His name is Michael. He's 5 years old. Michael, last December, was part of a very special ceremony in this Michigan town. They called it their 23rd annual adoption day. He was one of 36 children to be adopted that day. If you go to the next slide, guys, this is that scene in the courtroom. Michael is a little five-year-old boy there with his adopted parents, and the judge is proceeding with the ceremony at this point. But Michael's situation was quite different than most adoption ceremonies, because you see, his entire kindergarten class came to cheer him on and support him, all 23 of them, and they're holding signs with little hearts at the top of them. And when finally Michael's adopted parents and Michael brought down the gavel, the judge's gavel, on her desk, they all just erupted in cheers. And then they got their picture made together, and there was a very special VIP there, because it was December. Santa Claus showed up, and Santa Claus visited with each and every one of those little boys and girls. Each child in that kindergarten class had an opportunity to say something and to tell the judge and everyone else there why they showed up to support Michael. And one little boy said, "Michael is my best friend." And one little girl said, "My name is Lily, and I love Michael." But it's what Michael said himself that brought down the house in tears. Michael just simply said, after he was adopted, "I love you, Daddy." His kindergarten teacher said it was their honor to be there to support Michael. They had been his family up until that day. Now they were more than happy to hand that over to two wonderful parents who would love Michael, care for Michael, and always provide for Michael. Parents are a gift from God. A gift from a God that loves us very, very much, who wants us to be loved and wants us to have the opportunity to love others, especially parents. If we don't believe that parents are a blessing from God, or we don't understand that yet, just ask a child who doesn't have parents, or maybe ask a child that has been adopted by parents that love him or her and provide for him or her. They'll tell you in a hurry that yes, God loves them because God has blessed them with loving parents. Next month, November, is National Adoption Month. Did you know that there are over 125,000 children in this country alone that are in foster care this morning who only want a father or mother, or better still, both, not only to adopt them, but to love them? In all of these commandments that we've noted thus far, this is the one perhaps that screams the loudest from God: "I am your father, and I love you very, very much." In the passage that was read for us in verse 15, God reminds them of his great love and grace and mercy in delivering them from Egyptian bondage. He had already said that once in verse 6. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage," or slavery. That's how he began this list of Ten Commandments as we've come to know them. But the Ten Commandments are much more than just commandments. They are gifts from God. As someone once said of the Ten Commandments, God has etched His love for us in stone. What if I was to tell you this morning that before the greatest test or the biggest test in your life, a test bigger than medical boards or the bar or the CPA exam, I'm talking about the most important exam in your life, the exam that once passed leads to eternal life. What if I were to tell you this morning that before you took that test, you had all the answers to all the questions on that test? Do you think that would reduce our test anxiety? Do you think we would enter into taking that test with a great deal more confidence? And don't you think that we would believe, having had the answers prior to taking the exam, that our chances of making an A or a 100 were greatly enhanced? What if I were to tell you this is an open book test, that all the answers are contained in your textbook? And the textbook I'm talking about is the Bible. And indeed, God has given us not only all the questions, but He's given us all the answers to all of life's problems or dilemmas in His Word. And so we have the answers before we take this test we call life. And when I think about those answers that God has provided for us, I think of these commandments and all the others. But the Ten Commandments are answers to life's greatest dilemmas, and God has given them to us even before we face them. From the time we're born until the time we leave this world, we are never alone. And one of the ways God has demonstrated that in such a beautiful way is to bless us with parents. The commandments that we've noted thus far on the screen in front of you: to love God exclusively, that's the first commandment, to have no other God before Jehovah God. The listen to God alone is not to make any graven images of gods and worship them instead of the one true God. The third commandment, lift up God's name in adoration, don't take His name in vain. The fourth commandment, leave time for God, referencing the Sabbath day, not only to remember it, but to keep it holy. And then today, live for your parents. I want to spend the rest of our time together explaining to you why I chose that title for our lesson. If you haven't noticed, up until this point, I enjoy alliteration. I use alliteration a lot because they're memory prompts. They help me to remember my lessons and my sermons, and I use them in the classroom as well. And so when I was hunting for a word that began with the letter L, not trying to make too much of it or stretch it too far, the word that kept coming to my mind was simply the word live. And from the time we begin this life until the time we end this life, we are indebted to our parents, who not only gave us life and preserved our lives, but hopefully taught us how to love our children and to love ourselves. And so this morning, in thinking about this fifth commandment, the only commandment of the ten that has a promise, I want to make three observations very quickly. Number one, think with me about the fact that this commandment is a swing commandment. And what I mean by that is it's pivotal, it's fundamental, it's foundational to everything else that we do in this life. When you think about the Ten Commandments, they break down into two sections. Verses 1 through 15 deal with my relationship with God. The last six, verses 16 through 21, treat my relationship with my fellow man. Here's how Jesus summarized that first section in Mark 12, verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And here's how Jesus summarized that last section. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But even in the very shadow of Moses giving the Ten Commandments, in Deuteronomy 6, note verses 4 and following, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I grew up believing that the God of the Old Testament was angry, and there was no love of God in the Old Testament, and that only in the New Testament did you find God to be loving or merciful or kind. That the Old Testament was always negative and only the New Testament was positive. I was so mistaken. The God that we read about in the New Testament is no different than the God we read about in the Old Testament. The circumstances may be different, but God remains the same. And the God you read about in the New Testament and His love is the same God we read about in the Old Testament and His heart. This is a swing commandment. It's a pivotal commandment. Because if we can learn to respect God and respect others, I think we've discovered the secret of life. And so it's not by accident that right in the middle of these two sections, swinging like the hinge on a door, you have this fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Where is it that we learn to honor our God? Is it not in the home? And where do we learn to honor others or respect others? Is it not in the home? Let me put it a different way. Where do we learn to love God? And where do we learn to love others? Is it not in the home? This is a pivotal commandment in that if we don't get this right, we're going to mess up everything else that follows. The importance of the home in our country is incredibly important or valuable. As someone once said, as our families go, so goes our country. Our homes have and our families have been decimated by divorce, by single parents, and by same-sex marriages that are now legal, and they're adopting children. And the home has become a place of great confusion and neglect in a different kind of way, in a way we've never experienced before. And we really don't know what will be the final outcome of all of this because the statistics and the studies haven't been resolved yet. But the home has been decimated. We need to remember that when God created this world, the first thing that He did was He created the home. He created the marriage. It was before the church. It was before the schools, including the Bible school. It was before any government. We can't outsource the rearing of our children to other agencies or to other entities. That responsibility falls squarely on our shoulders as parents. This is the most critical of all commandments. Will and Ariel Durant, in their 11-volume study entitled The Story of Civilization, for which they won a Pulitzer Prize, said of every civilization that has ever existed in this world or the history of this world, all have fallen and all have died. And they all have one single thing in common. The loss of the family, the destruction of the family. As someone said recently, it's not about what's going on in the White House. What matters is what's going on in my house. Presidents come and go, but what we do or we don't do in the home with our children is eternal. This is a swing commandment. Our Lord said a house or a home divided against itself cannot stand, Mark 3, verse 25. And the psalmist said, except the Lord build the house or the home, they labor in vain that build it. This is a swing commandment. But number two, it's a serious commandment. Notice we are to honor our father and our mother. That word honor is significant. In the Hebrew, it means to regard as weighty. In other words, people who are important in our lives, like our parents, are described in Hebrew as heavyweights. And they're heavyweights, yes, because of the responsibility and accountability of parents before God. But they're also heavyweights in the sense that they mean so much to us. And they matter so very much to us in our development. The Greek word that is used for honor, which is found in Ephesians 6, verse 2, is to evaluate or to fix the value of. And I still remember, don't you, Jesus dying on the cross in John 19, verses 26 and 27. And as he's dying, he looks down, and at the foot of his cross, on bended knees, sits his mother weeping for the death of her son in her very eyes, in the very sight of her eyes. And she can't help him. She can't stop it. She can't do anything about it. And among his last words were words of tenderness spoken to his mother, concern about his mother, saying to his cousin John, "This is your mother, take care of her." And then to his mother, "This is your son, he will take care of you when I'm gone." And Jesus honored his father and his mother. The very opposite, of course, of honor is dishonor, but the Bible uses the word curse in the Old Testament to explain this or to underscore it. The word curse or curses in the Old Testament, interestingly, is translated be light or to make light of or to esteem lightly. I think of Eli and his sons, Hophniah and Phinehas, who had contempt for their father and contempt for the Lord. And because of that, in 1 Samuel 2, 22 through 25, they lost their lives. They did not honor their father or their mother. They treated them rather lightly, esteemed them rather flippantly, and paid the ultimate price for that. I guess the question that's begged is, if I'm to honor my father and my mother, then David, tell me, how do I do that? May I offer you four ways? Number one, the clearest way to honor our parents is to obey them. This is what Paul said, didn't he? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What's right? That I obey my parents. In Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. What's well-pleasing unto the Lord? That children obey their parents. When you look at the example of Jesus in Luke 2, verse 51, even at the age of 12 up till the age of 30, his entire life spent at home, he was obedient unto his parents. And if we're going to follow the example of Jesus, and well, we should, as we're told in 2 Peter 2, verse 21, will not those steps lead us to obey our parents? And Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30, Luke 3, verse 23. And so for 30 years, Jesus obeyed his parents, but he didn't stop obeying them even when he left home in the remaining 3.5 years of his life. It is ironic, I think, in that lengthy list of sins of the Gentiles in Romans chapter 1, in the very middle of that, in verse 30, Paul says that they were disobedient to their parents. It almost sticks out like a sore thumb, but it may very well have been that all the other sins that they had committed, atrocities against God, atrocities against their fellow man, all stem from what they did not get in the home. And if in the home we don't learn to love God, respect God, obey God, serve God, give back to God, then what hope do we have, really, of making it in this world, or more importantly, in the world to come? And if we don't learn how to respect others, to love ourselves, to respect ourselves, then do we not deserve what we see in our country today? Is our country is being torn apart by injustice and violence and discrimination and all other abominations in the sight of God. That should not shock us. That's how serious this commandment is and how important it is that we obey our parents, no matter our age. This commandment means that we respect our parents, that we speak respectfully to them, and growing up and even as a young adult, sometimes we struggle with this, speaking to them civilly and respectfully. But I want you to notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And so respect them, speak respectfully to them. Don't curse them, number three, or strike them. Who in the world would ever do that? You would be surprised. But you read the newspapers too, and you watch the news as I do, and it happens more frequently than we would like to admit. But a long time ago, God said in Exodus 21, verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And later in verse 15 is where it says not to curse them. It's verse 17 where it says don't strike them. Or rather, the other way around. 17, which is on the screen, which I'm hoping is right. Who knows? I know the author of that PowerPoint. Unlike the author of that passage, he's very prone to mistakes. God isn't. You don't curse your parents, you don't strike your parents, and in the fourth place, we provide for our parents. This is what I think it means for those of us who are older. You know what you say to children? You say, children, obey your parents. Well, what do you say to us? What do you say to older children? What do you say to young adults whose parents are still living, or older adults whose parents are still living? Now, my parents are gone. They've been gone for over 20 years. I miss them desperately. But what do you say to older children, to adults? You say, you honor your father and your mother, don't you? We don't look at them and say to them, as we would say to our children, you obey your parents. We say to them, you're to honor your father and your mother. And this is how Jesus uses it in Mark 7, verses 9 through 13, when the Pharisees were disobeying or disannulling that fifth commandment, not honoring their father and their mother, by taking the money from their inheritances that should be used to take care of their parents in their parents' older age and in their parents' great need, taking that money and instead giving it to the temple and offering it as a gift to God and calling it Corban, which means a gift in Hebrew. Jesus said, you have disobeyed God. Not that you've given this gift to God. Give your gifts to God, but don't give gifts to God and violate his commandments in so doing. And so Jesus condemned the Pharisees, who were adults, who were not providing for their parents in their parents' declining or older years. You know, the prodigal, when he left home in Luke 15, 11 through 13, and we talk about him being selfish and willful and ambitious, and he was all the above. But you know what he's thinking? I don't want my inheritance after my dad dies. And I don't want my inheritance when my dad gets older and he can't take care of himself, because I don't want to use my inheritance to take care of him or to take care of my mother when they're old. I want my inheritance now, and I want to do it my way. I want to spend it my way, and I want to spend it on me. And that's what he did. But you see, at the heart of his willfulness is the violation of this fifth commandment. And so it's a serious commandment that we honor our parents, that we don't treat them lightly or disrespectfully, and that we provide for them. And isn't it ironic? Isn't it the way God made it to be? That when we're young and we're babies or we're toddlers and we can't take care of ourselves, who takes care of us? Who takes care of us unconditionally? Who loves us whether we're lovable or not? Who meets our every need? And we never go without what we need. Is it not our parents? Is it not then right that when they get older and they need help and they need love and they need it unconditionally and they need their needs met, why can't we reciprocate? Why can't we do unto others as we would have others do unto us? Why can't we not then take the time to provide for them? You see how serious this is, because it becomes full circle. And if everyone did this, just think how great this world would be. Coming and going, God taking care of us. And the extension of Him, His fatherhood, is our earthly fathers and mothers, our parents. And yes, we may not have had the best parents in the world, and maybe no parents at all, and maybe we're bitter because of the way we didn't have the kinds of parents that our friends had. And I grew up like that, and I was bitter too. And I was angry, and I didn't like myself. And I had to understand that my dad was who he was, and he couldn't always help that. But I had to learn, and my mother was a big part of that. But the Bible saved my life because it taught me to honor my father and my mother. And so I sought the good in my father, the love my father had for me. And I didn't have to live with this bitterness and this turmoil in my life. I could let it go. God did that for me. This is what it means to honor our father and our mother. But it's a significant commandment in the final analysis, because it comes with a promise. That promise is echoed by Paul in Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So the promise is twofold. Listen, whenever we obey God, whether it's honoring our parents or any other commandment of God, that's a good thing. That always comes with a blessing, because His commandments are not burdensome, 1 John 5, verse 3. They are for our own good. There are other commandments in the 10 that give reasons for obedience, who give warnings for disobedience, but this is the first commandment that comes with this beautiful promise. What does it mean? I think to the Israelites, in the very context of this verse, is that they would enjoy the land of promise, the land of Canaan, that this was a covenant agreement between God and His people. And as long as they kept their covenant arrangement with God, they would not be punished, and they could stay in the land, and they could enjoy the land of Canaan. Do you know they were sent off into exile? Part of the reason they lost that land is because they did not honor their father and their mothers. In Micah 7, verse 6, they dishonored them, Micah said, and that was part of the reason that God swept them away into captivity. But as long as they kept that commandment and honored their fathers and their mothers, it went well for them, and they would live long upon the earth, in that they would have a long, healthy life in the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey. But Paul adds another dimension to this when he says that it may go well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. It means that life is sweeter, life is better when we do it God's way. You remember what Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, Matthew 5, 5. What that means is meekness means control, under God's control. Do it God's way and you'll inherit this earth and all the good that's in this earth, as Jesus said in John 10, 10, an abundant life, but in the world to come, even something greater and even better. This is the same principle, that if we'll honor our parents while our parents are living, and even when they're no longer with us, honor them by the way we live our lives, choose to live our lives as they taught us, it will be better for us, and the life that we are given to live will be much fuller. You know, this isn't about the quantity of years. That's how we initially read it, that this is guaranteeing me I'll live to be 100. No, that's not what it's saying. This isn't about quantity. It's about quality. Let me ask you something. Methuselah lived 969 years according to Genesis 5, verse 37. Tell me one thing that he did. He had sons and daughters and he died. That's what the Bible says. Jesus lived 33 short years. I have now lived nearly twice that many years. But Jesus accomplished more in his 33 years than I'll ever accomplish in no matter how many years I'm given. But he did so many good things, said so many wonderful things, that there are not enough books in the world to chronicle everything he accomplished. And that's in John 21, verse 20. It isn't about the number of years I'm given. It's about what I do with the years that I'm given. Children who obey their parents, who honor their parents, are saved from the vices that shorten one's life. I never smoked. I never drank. I'm not perfect. I have a lot of other flaws, but I never did those. I saw those in my dad. I didn't see those in my mom necessarily, but my mom made sure that I knew what that could do to you. I saw it in my dad, but without my mom, where would I have been? And so honoring our parents, obeying our parents, they also keep us from not only vices, but they help us form virtuous habits that help us to live a better life and even maybe a longer life. And even without these two, God watches over us, and that's more than we ever could ask for or deserve. What it means is, as an ancient Indian proverb once stated, people who walk better paths have longer journeys. Abraham Lincoln once said, and in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years. God is saying, if you will try to extend the lives of your parents, I will try to extend your lives, because I love you, I always have, and I always will. It's a swing commandment. It's a serious commandment. It's a sweet, significant commandment. Now, what do we do? You may have read some of Grimm's fairy tales. You may have read William Bennett's Book of Virtues. It's excellent. And Bill Bennett, in that book, gives this story, and you've heard it before, but I think it summarizes what I've tried to say and illustrates what I've tried to point out. There was once a very old man whose eyes had become dim, his ears dull of hearing, his knees trembled. And when he sat at table, he could hardly hold the spoon and spilt the broth upon the tablecloth or let it run out of his mouth. His son and his son's wife were disgusted at this. So the old grandfather at last had to sit in the corner behind the stove. And they gave him his food in an earthen bowl, and not even enough of it. And he used to look towards the table with his eyes full of tears. Once, too, his trembling hands could not hold the bowl, and it fell to the ground and broke. The young wife scolded him, but he said nothing and only sighed. Then they brought him a wooden bowl for a few halfpence, out of which he had to eat. They were once sitting thus when the little grandson of 4 years old began to gather together some bits of wood upon the ground. "What are you doing there?" asked the father. "I am making a little trough," answered the child, "for father and mother to eat out of when I am big." The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and presently began to cry. Then they took the old grandfather to the table and henceforth always let him eat with them, and likewise said nothing if he did spill a little of anything. The moral: the parents in this fairy tale recognized their own future when they saw their son preparing to treat them as they had been treating their grandfather, his grandfather, the grandfather. And they were shocked, and they changed. Honor your father and your mother. This commandment comes from a God who loves us and seeks only what will make us the happiest in this life, preparing us for the world, the better world, eternal life to come. Now the question, as we close and consider obeying the plan of salvation, which we've seen this plan 100 times, It's just really how much do we love Him? And how much do we want to honor Him? And there's no better way to honor Him this morning than to obey Him. And so if you're not a Christian and you need to become one, or you're not a faithful Christian and you need to be restored, know this: nothing honors our Heavenly Father greater than our obedience and service to Him. If you need to come, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.
Pray with me, please. Holy Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made at Calvary for sending your Son. Father, thank you for the cleansing that his death provides for us, and help us, Father, at this time as we partake of this bread to remember the cruel mockery and the beating that he went through, his body that was broken for us. Help us to partake of it in a way and manner that's acceptable to you, in Christ's name. Father, we are grateful to you for the blood of Christ and the cleansing that comes through that, the forgiveness, Father, that we enjoy because of your gift. Help us to remember that blood as we partake of this fruit of the vine, and help us, Father, to have a heart that's worthy of the gift that you gave us there, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen is what we say to Brother David's lesson. He does such a tremendous job bringing God's word into our hearts and our minds, and we thank you for that, Brother David. Visitors, again, we'll be assembling this evening at 6 p.m. We'd love to have you as our guest again, but please do come and be with us anytime you have an opportunity. Just a few updates. We want to congratulate to Brother James and Shelby Biggs on the birth of their daughter, Hazel Faye. She was born Tuesday, September the 29th. She weighed 6 pounds and 14 ounces and was 19 inches long. And, of course, proud grandparents are Chris and Diana White and their great-grandmother, Paulette Cox. We are happy for this. Men's quarterly business meeting will be in the auditorium at 1:30 p.m. Sunday, October the 11th, next Sunday. All the men of the congregation are invited. And of course, we will practice our social distancing and keep ourselves safe. There will be a deacon's meeting immediately after, so plan for that. We, on a sad note, Brother Leonard and Sister Betty Brown will be moving to Fort Worth, Texas, this next Saturday, October the 10th. They want to be closer to their family, but we'll miss them, and we wish them the best and hope maybe they can come back and visit with us in the future. But be sure and remember them in your prayers. We'll all be standing here in just a second. We'll have our closing song, and Brother Al will word us in our closing prayer and pray for contributions that anyone would like to make. There are baskets in the foyer for you. Let's all be standing for our song.
Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise Him all day long. I want to thank You, Lord, for loving me. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul.
Our Holy Father, we thank You for the day You've blessed us with, the opportunity to come together as Your people. We pray, Lord, You'd be with us as we separate. Help us, Father, to be an example to the people we come into contact with this day. Father, be with us through the day. Help us to come back this evening and worship You again. Thank You, Lord, for the service that we have. We pray that we've all been uplifted. We're grateful to You for David and his message to us. And help us to live a life, Father, that demonstrates the gospel and the blessings and salvation that come through Jesus. And it's His name that we pray. Amen.